The committee split its time between debating election issues and sparring over election-related partisan squabbles. The committee's Republican chairman, Congressman Brian Stile, made it clear in his opening statement that his objective in the hearing was to bring transparency, oversight, and accountability to an agency he believed had substantial issues with waste and partisan corruption.
As part of the CARES Act, the EAC received $400 million in additional grant funding to prepare for the 2020 election cycle. The GAO found that the EAC is unable to account for the full $400 million due to poor accounting policies. The GAO also found that EAC conducted minimal oversight. The reporting made, quote, it difficult to determine how grant funds were spent across states, end quote. The failure to accurately track how states use these federal grants has potentially enabled significant waste, fraud, and abuse.
Meanwhile, ranking committee member New York Democratic Representative Joe Morrell insisted that the EAC serves a vital function, and it is Congress's responsibility to support its mission.
As election-related mis- and disinformation has grown, voters bear a growing burden of having to sort fact from fiction. A trusted clearinghouse of information and resources such as the EAC is invaluable to providing voters with resources they urgently need and ensuring election officials have the tools to educate voters and conduct safe and secure elections in an ever-changing environment. The EAC provides assistance as election officials face growing threats and partners with other federal agencies to address critical infrastructure needs.
Testifying before the committee were EAC Commissioners Christy McCormick, Benjamin Hovland, Donald Palmer, and Thomas Hicks. McCormick, the agency's chairwoman, stated that in addition to longstanding challenges facing elections such as lack of funding, outdated technology, and security concerns, the agency is now confronted with a host of new issues.
Social media continues to evolve, with new platforms and generative AI tools making voter education more challenging. In addition to administering elections and voter education, officials must still prepare for cyber, physical, and personal security threats. Many election officials have left the field, citing safety, increased requirements and expectations, and a lack of resources. Some communities have seen their entire elections departments resign. Now more than ever, election officials need our support.
Commissioner Hicks responded to questions from Republicans about the EAC's ballooning budget, saying that the EAC's responsibilities have ballooned in equal measure, if not its purview.
We haven't increased our authority, but the scope of our jobs have increased in terms of cybersecurity issues that no one thought of in 2003 or in 2002 when HAVA was enacted, but also the fact that we are also fighting nation states in terms of mis- and disinformation. And it's not really feasible to ask a city clerk in a small town to fight against a superpower for mis- and disinformation when the U.S. government should be doing that.
Republicans devoted a significant portion of the hearing to criticizing past activities of the EAC. Congressman Stile, in particular, repeatedly raised concerns about a grant given by the EAC to a California organization involved in electing President Biden, in addition to its other nonpartisan election work. However, Democrats noted that the incident had been investigated and no wrongdoing had been found. The discussions related to election security were less contentious. In response to questions by the committee on what the EAC was doing to protect elections from interference, McCormick acknowledged that achieving completely impenetrable voting systems was not feasible, but assured them that the EAC was working hard to get as close as possible.
No system is immune from attack, but we do our best to protect the systems, and we are working to increase the security on our systems with our new VVSG 2.0 requirements. And additionally, we will be starting a consolidated vulnerability disclosure program to make sure that any kind of vulnerabilities are identified and addressed in a very efficient and quick manner to make sure that the voting systems remain secure.
The discussions held during Wednesday's hearing have the potential to influence the American Confidence in Elections Act, an election bill currently under development by Stile and other House Republicans that would, among other things, restrict voting access in the deeply blue Washington, D.C. I'm Scott Bamba, Pacifica Radio, KPFA.